start right there. On the 14th day of the first month, now that's the month of Nisan. We're in the first month of the biblical new year. On the 14th day of the first month is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of this month is a feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. On the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. We're in that day now. We are at that day with this holiday. And this is a special day. It is a Shabbat. It is the beginning of Passover. These holidays always, when they fall, they're Shabbat. Why? Because the Shabbat is a special day where you're supposed to set aside. You're supposed to remember. You're supposed to rest. Take your rest in Him. And not only that, it's a holy convocation. It's a restful day, and it's a holy day. Now, Passover is such an important holiday, and Jewish people across the spectrum, I'm talking about ultra-Orthodox to the very liberal, celebrate Passover. Okay? All levels of observance are celebrating Passover around the world with Judaism. They have family seders. They have seders in their homes. And the commandment in the scripture is really to have a seder in your home. It's a very intimate setting. The seder meal, the story, the recounting of the Exodus story, you're supposed to do it in your homes. It is, that is the commandment. But we also have congregational seders because this is our extended family, isn't it? This is our spiritual family. So we get together with our regular family. We bring friends over and have wonderful, intimate family seders. And then we have our congregational seders. And Jewish people all over the Savannah area and all over the world are celebrating Pesach. They're celebrating the Passover with family seders, with congregational seders. Now, we're having our congregational seder tomorrow night, Sunday night, here at Karen Orr. And for those of you that are coming, it's in the sanctuary tomorrow night on Sunday. And we are going to talk all about Passover. We're going to be talking about the story behind the Passover. But today, I want to focus on the Passover narrative. I want to focus on this, the key. What is the central key in Passover? You know, there's so many things about Passover that we can see the significance, the biblical, the messianic significance. I want to talk about one of the central themes of Passover. And here it is. The central theme, if you break all of the Passover down, it's all about the blood. It's all about the blood. Isn't that a central theme of Scripture, though? That's a central theme of the Bible. It's all about the blood. So this is a very... this is a message you could give 365 days of the year. You could give it every week. But this is a message for us in Passover. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. It's not about the food, although the food is important, right? It's not about coming and fellowshipping with people every week, although that's important. But all that we're about, all that we're doing, and all that the Passover is really centered on, is it's all about the blood. Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 23. Let's start there. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourself according to your clans, and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel on the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning." This was really important. Don't leave the house. Stay inside your house. Put the blood on the doorpost. Verse 23. "For the Lord..." this is capitalized in my Bible, right? The Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. That means Adonai. That means the Lord himself. "He will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorposts, the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter the house, your houses, to strike you." Exodus 12, 21 through 23. Now, this was very, you had to do this very specifically. If you didn't do what God said here, you would be in a whole lot of trouble, okay? You had to follow God's instructions specifically. The children of Israel were commanded to bring a young lamb. Now, this had to be a lamb without blemish, a perfect lamb, without defect, and bring it into the house. And then spend some days with it in the house. The children had to play with the lamb. They had to bond with the lamb. This had to become a family member. This isn't just a lamb that you stick in the backyard, right? This is the indoor pet, not the outdoor pet you're supposed to have for a few days. So, you've got the lamb, and then all of a sudden, 3 or 4 days later, you've got to kill the lamb. And you've got to eat the lamb, right? But that's not what God's trying to get through. What he's trying to show us, ultimately, through all of that connection, is the blood of that lamb was taken and put on the doorposts. Okay? We get the name Passover because the Lord passed over the houses that had the blood on the doorposts. He passed over because it's all about the blood. It's not about the, it is about the lamb. It's not about, you know, the charoset, even though I love the charoset. It's not about the bitter herbs. It's about the blood of the lamb. This is what it's all about. And today we're going to be talking about why it's all about the blood. What is so special about the blood? Why are we so fixated about blood? Blood's gross, right? Blood's pretty nasty. How many of you have ever gone and see, you know, like a surgery being done? Anybody has like, okay, one person, right. I remember when I was in college and I used to be pre-med way long time ago, and I could handle blood. I went in and I, you know, saw surgeries happening, but like I remember talking to people and they were like, I could never be a doctor. I could never be a nurse. Why? I can't handle blood. Blood is disgusting. It's gross. It just makes me cringe. Well, listen. It is all about the blood. I'm not saying you got to like focus on the blood and go see surgeries and watch people, you know, but we have to understand that there is significance with blood. There is biblical significance very much for our lives. There's a few things I want to talk about and why it's important, why it's special, why we need to talk about it. First thing is blood gives life. Blood is the thing that gives you life in your body on a practical, physical level. We would not be alive if we didn't have enough blood running through our bodies. That's why people get blood transfusions. That's why you check what kind of blood type you have, and you have to get that type of blood type. It's very important to have blood in your body. When the blood flows out of your body, you die. Blood, what does blood do? Blood delivers nutrients, and it delivers oxygen to your cells. So it goes out and delivers nutrients and oxygen to your cells, and also blood transports all the metabolic waste products away from your cells. So the blood facilitates nutrients and oxygen going back and forth and taking the waste products out of your cells. This is how vital blood is for us from a physical level, from a physiological level. Do you know that blood is 7% of total human body weight? 7% of your body weight is blood. Now, a great way to lose 7%, if you want to lose some weight, you can get rid of all your blood. But you'll be dead. So don't do that, right? You need the blood. 7% of your body weight is blood. So blood is vital to life. How vital is it spiritually? Turn with me to Leviticus. And I'm saying this verse, Leviticus 17:11, is probably the most important verse in the Bible. I've been saying this all week as I've been going and speaking to other churches and other places. It is central, and we need to always remember that the blood is central. It's all about the blood. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. We know in a physical sense that blood gives us life. Blood is vital to our living and moving and breathing. In a physical sense, but there's also the spiritual component. Blood is central. It's central to the atonement of your souls. The life of the flesh is in the blood, physically and spiritually, and God values life. Therefore, he values blood. He values the blood. Blood is not something that should be shed casually or needlessly. Now, there's ample scripture to back this up. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Blood is vital, blood is important, and it's important to God. He treats it with seriousness, and he expects us to treat it with seriousness. Genesis 9:6. This is what God says. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. God values blood. It's valuable, it's important to him. King David was a great man of God. We all know that, right? It's said in Scripture that David was a man after God's own heart. God loved David. In fact, all future kings after David were basically measured by the yardstick of King David, right? We can say that, right? We know he had a heart after God's own heart. And David was special to God. But David was a warrior. David was a man that shed blood, right? He had to kill people. He killed a lot of people. And when it came time to build God's house, God's temple, the holy place where God's Shekinah, his manifest presence, would descend and dwell, when it came time for that, David could not build a house for God. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 28, verses 2 and 3. David, who had a heart for God, who God used as the yardstick, the Messiah is of David, right? The Messiah is referenced from the line of David. And yet, David could not build the temple for God. Because why? He shed blood. 1 Chronicles 28, verses 2 and 3. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. And I made preparations for building. But God said to me, 'You may not build a house for my name, for you are a man of war and have shed blood.'" So God considers blood very important, and one who sheds blood could not build God's house. So David's son Solomon had to build the house for God because David could not. So blood is important and vital. Number two, blood is shed for sin. Okay? God could have used anything. He chose blood. Blood is the vehicle, and the shedding of that blood is shed for sin, for purposes of sin. Blood is shed because of sin. And many, many scriptures talk about this. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 30, verse 10. And there's a reason I'm only going to Torah here. I'm going to verses in the Torah to make the point about how blood is central from a biblical concept, from a Jewish concept, from a Torah concept. It's very important to understand this, because in Judaism today, it's not all about the blood, right? It's about everything but the blood, because they have no temple. They have no way of making the sacrifices. But it's still central and important. Exodus 30, chapter 30, verse 10. "Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year. With the blood of the sin offering of atonement, he shall make atonement for it once a year throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord." So just like Leviticus 17:11, we read in Exodus 30:10 that blood was shed to make atonement for sins, to clear out our sins. Okay? This world has so many ways that they think will clear out their sins. Okay? Whether it's whatever, you fill in the blank, no matter who you talk to, if they're not really a believer, they're going to have all their ways of atoning for their sins, right? Of shedding their sins, forgetting about their sins, pretending that their sins go away, or saying, "Well, this will take away my sins, right? If I just do this thing." But biblically speaking, it's the blood that makes atonement. It's only the shedding of blood to clear out sins and to wipe out sins biblically. So it's vital and important. It is the way, the vehicle to shed our sins. And number three, blood redeems. Blood does redeem us. Not only does it take away our sins, it redeems us. What does that mean? Because it's all about the blood. Leviticus 17:11 again. It makes atonement for us. It clears out our sins so that we can be redeemed. Sin, if you look at what the definition of sin is separation from God. We were created to have fellowship with God, to have connection with God. Because of our sin, we separated ourselves from God. The connection was broken. Through the blood being shed, our sins are wiped out so that we can have connection once again, so that we can be redeemed unto God. The blood essentially takes away the sins so we can be connected with God again. Why? Because God cannot fellowship with sin. When we sin, we are pulling ourselves away from the Lord, and this blood is allowing us to reconnect. It's all about the blood. It's allowing us to be redeemed to the Lord, to connect back with the Lord. Now, Exodus 12:23 again. We'll go back to our Torah portion for today. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. Those who had blood on their doorposts back in Egypt had their firstborn sons spared. They did not die. The firstborns were redeemed. They were redeemed. They did not die. They were saved. Listen, the blood has always been about redemption. It's been about reconnecting us with God. How important must this be if this is the vehicle central to everything? Important to God, the shedding of it wipes out our sins, our separation from God, and allows us redemption, allows us reconnection with God. Shouldn't we really have a focus on that blood then? Shouldn't we really see how vital and central it is to the entire story of the Bible, and is certainly the entire story of the Passover? So that's great, right? That's biblical. That's from the Torah. We went through several scriptures. But how do we apply that blood today? Does it not matter today? You know, like I said, I think it was last week, we don't have the appreciation for going out and killing an animal and having that blood be shed. We don't. Now, some people are still hunters and some people still go out and do that. But I'm telling you, the most hunting I do is I go to Publix and I hunt for the best piece of meat, right, to bring home. That's my hunting. There's no blood involved. It's already done for me. It's already packaged and ready to go. So I don't have that appreciation. But scripturally, we need to have that appreciation for the blood and how much it's done. And we can apply that to our lives today. We've shown through the Torah the value of blood, the value of it, the shedding of it for sins, and the redemption of it, right in the pages of the Torah. But we know as believers in Yeshua, as followers of Messiah Yeshua, the Passover holiday has much spiritual significance, much prophetic and messianic significance. Yeshua is that Passover lamb that's brought in. He was that lamb without blemish. He was brought into our homes, right? And he never sinned because he was without blemish, just like that little lamb. He died on the cross for our sins, and he was sacrificed. First, his blood is vital and important, just like the blood talking about in the Torah. Yeshua's blood is vital and important. Romans 3, verses 23 through 25. Wonderful set of scripture here. Romans 3, 23 through 25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. Now, there's so much in these verses here. All of us have sinned. All of us have separated ourselves from God, broken that connection with God when he created us. And Yeshua's blood is valuable. That shed blood is valuable to us. His valuable blood was shed because of sin, our sin, because we all have sinned and fallen short. He didn't sin, but he stood in the gap for us. Now, the effect of sin is death. You and I, because of our sinful condition, because of the things you and I do every single day to other people, to ourselves, we are condemned to die because of the way we have willfully separated ourselves from God, the source of life. You and I are condemned to die because of that. But we have this advocate that comes in, Yeshua, and he says, you know what? I'll die for you. I'll shed my blood, because the shedding of the blood produces death. Remember, we have to have blood in us to live. That shedding of blood that Yeshua did produced death. He died in our place. He took on that sin for us. We separate ourselves from God. He steps in and says, you know what? I'm going to shed my valuable blood for you because of sin. Romans chapter 5. Turn with me a few more chapters ahead. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Messiah died for the ungodly. Now listen, stop right there. That verse is for you, and it's for me. It's for all of us. While we were still weak, while we were still sitting in our sins, doing all that bad stuff willfully, at the right time, Messiah steps in, that perfect Passover lamb without blemish. He stepped in and died for the ungodly. you can just cross out ungodly and say he died for, and then put your name in. He died for me because of my ungodliness, because of my sin. Verse 7, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. You didn't turn around and say, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I'm going to flog myself. Everything I ever did, I'm so sorry. You know, Messiah died for you and I when we were still in that state of just saying, I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm just going to go over here and sin. He was there. He was dying for you and I back when we were saying that. How much does God love us because he does that for us? So his blood was very valuable, and he shed it for your and I's sins when we didn't even want him to do it, when we didn't even care, when we didn't even think it was a bad thing to go off and do our sins. But his blood redeems us. His blood allows us, when we didn't deserve it, to connect back with God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him, Yeshua, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. That's one of those verses you just kind of skim over and you got to really dig into that. In Yeshua, we have redemption through his blood. Not because he was a nice guy, not because of all these other things, but because he shed his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. This is an amazing verse. The Passover lamb, Yeshua, were redeemed through his blood. It's all about the blood. Yeshua's blood redeems us from death and connects us back to God so we can have a relationship with our Creator. We can have a relationship and have eternal life with God. We are redeemed people. We need to start living like we're redeemed people. Okay? We need to stop living like we're condemned people. It's easy to look, like I said earlier, it's easy to look and see all your problems. It's easy to see, well, I don't have this, and I don't have that, and look at what this person has that I don't have. But we're not living like redeemed people when we're saying that. We need to live like redeemed people, people that have been pardoned when we didn't deserve it. How much more should we feel that appreciation for the Lord? How much more should we say, you know what, I didn't deserve it at all, but you did it for me. You did it for me, Lord. We need to live like that. And we can remember that as we partake in this Seder tomorrow night. And as you're partaking in your family Seders, think about the redemption that we have in Messiah. As we keep the Seder, that's what it's all about. It's the fulfillment of all that God has always wanted to do to bring humanity back to him. Humanity fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, and we're redeemed, brought back to God through the blood of that Passover Lamb, Yeshua. You know, our prayer is that Jewish people around the world, as they're partaking in their Seders, that they would realize that the lamb that's talked about, that the matzah that's broken, that it all points to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is what Yeshua has done for us. One more scripture, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. We're going to go to the book of Revelation here. We need to live like redeemed people, like people that have been had their sins wiped away when we didn't deserve it. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, this is Yeshua, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. It's all about the blood. Listen, we get so focused as Jewish people on, well, the Passover's for us. And all those other people, they're doing those Easter egg hunts, you know. They're doing all that other stuff. But the Passover is ours, you know. But that's not what it's about. This is a story for everybody. This is a story about deliverance from slavery to freedom. You know, Egypt represents sin. It represents the sin that you were in your life. You had your own Egypt. And Israel represents the promised land after you have been ransomed out, pulled out of that sin. You didn't deserve it. But you were pulled out and brought to a promised land. The Passover story is for Jewish and non-Jewish people. Because what it points to, Revelation 5:9, is that people from every tribe, it doesn't just say the Jewish people, it says all people are going to be living like redeemed people, praising his name, thankful for what that God has done. He's redeemed them. This has been God's plan. the plan and the story of the Exodus is not just to save Jewish people and for Jewish people to remember. It's for all people to know that God has had a plan in the Exodus story throughout the rest of the Bible, and that is reconnection with himself through the blood. It's all about the blood. We need to remember that. When people try to tell you, well, I'm a good person. Well, you might be a good person, but it's not about how good you are. It's all about the blood. When people say to you, well, I tithe. You say, well, tithing is great, but it's not about tithing. It's all about the blood. When people say to you, well, I give to charity. I help other people out. You could say, well, that's wonderful, but it's all about the blood. Do you have the blood applied to your doorposts? Do you have the blood applied to the doorposts of your heart? Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? That's the question for our Jewish people throughout this season. And that's the question for all people. Because God wants, his heart is to not only redeem the Jewish people, but it's to redeem the entire world, bring us back at the end of Revelation, back to that Garden of Eden, so we can have eternal life and be a redeemed people, Jew and Gentile, with him. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you because you show us your story of redemption through the Passover story. Because you show us your short story of redemption throughout the entire Bible. It's very clear. But Lord, we fumble over it. We miss it. I pray right now, Lord God, this week, as Jewish people in all the synagogues are celebrating the Passover, that you would supernaturally, Lord, show them Yeshua. That you would make their jaws drop, Lord, as they're sitting in those synagogues, as they're sitting in their homes, that you would drop the scales from their eyes, that they would see the Passover lamb and the significance and the centrality of the blood. Leviticus 17:11. Lord, show our people that it was only the blood that sheds our sins and takes away our sins. And it was only the blood of that lamb that allowed the death to pass over and for them to be redeemed and brought out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Lord, we thank you that you have redeemed us through Messiah Yeshua. And Lord, we pray that we can be a light as we're in the grocery stores. We pray that we can be a light at work. We pray that we can be a light to our family and our friends, that it's all about the blood of Yeshua. So Lord, I pray that you would give us, all of us, opportunities to share our faith, to share about the blood atonement that we've been given, and that we are redeemed. Lord, someone said to me, you have such a peace in you this week. And Lord, it's your peace. You've given it to me. Lord, may they say that about all of us. May they say, you've got such a peace about you. What is that? Tell me about that. And Lord, give us an opportunity to share that it's all about the blood. It's all about you, Yeshua, and you dying for our sins so that we can be redeemed people. We praise you, Lord God. Help us not to focus on our problems, but to say, Dayenu, God, if you just did that, it would be enough. If you just redeemed us by your blood, it would be enough. But you've given us blessing after blessing after blessing. Help us to see those blessings. Help us to recount those blessings in this season. And Lord, I pray that many, many people would see that it's all about the blood and that would turn from their sins and turn to you, Yeshua. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.